Welcome and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or helpfromchristministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 45. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program.
I'm doing the continuation of a piece of literature that I've written. This is part two of another Pearl Harbor. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. Father God, we thank and praise your name for immortality, for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask that you continue anointing with your outward anointing, which is the anointing for the ministry, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you'll continue opening up the spirits, the minds, the hearts, the souls of every hearer, that they may hear the truth and obey it, and that it may enter the truth into their heart. You are the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto God and enter the kingdom of heaven but through you, Christ, Lord Jesus, Savior. And so we pray that everyone will learn of you now and receive you now and begin worshiping and serving you now. Father, we ask that you reveal these things to the unsaved and that they accept you, because if they don't accept you, they're only hurting themselves, not you, and that the church will come back to you and become zealous instead of lukewarm or fallen away, and that they will be brought back up to where they must be, full of zeal, vigilance, and diligence, and that they will begin again to serve you with zeal, and that they be strengthened through this message in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, now here we have the continuation of another Pearl Harbor.
Today, the secular powers that be have made reading the Bible a sin. It is against their secular law. This is one of the abominations that maketh desolate. They have made praying a sin because it is against their secular law. This is another abomination that maketh desolate. They know that when we pray, God comes to our defense. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye would be followers of that which is good? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. He avenges us. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I, God, speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Exodus chapter 23, verse 22.
So our adversary has been the Vatican World Government. They have put me on prison on false charges. They've put me in jail many times on false charges. They've taken me in court on false charges. They're definitely my adversary, and I want them to know that God is your adversary. And Father God, I pray that the things that I'm saying on this tape, that they will be punished for the things that they've done. You said that you would, so honor your word, Lord. You said, whatsoever we bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. So, Lord, bind them on earth. I'm binding them with the exposure on them. Now bind them in heaven, Father God. Bind them from heaven, in heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, go ahead.
We are never to avenge ourselves. This is the one true way that members of Christ's body can prevail in their war with the evil ones, those whose father is the devil. These evil ones say the Almighty God is sinful because he's against the secular law. This is also an abomination that maketh desolate. They say that God's law, which is the way we are to conduct ourselves in this world, is evil because it is against their, Satan's, secular law. And they have made God's people, the ones who carry the truth of the gospel to the world, evil, because God's people will not obey the things in the secular law that are contrary to God's law, which is the real law of the entire universe. The Antichrist shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25.
Well, they're trying to change the laws, but the law of God has not changed, and God is going to judge them for doing this. They're going to hell in the lake of fire, unless they repent. And we're praying for you unsaved people out there, you wicked ones, that are doing the things that you have done and the things that you are currently doing. The Lord saved the Apostle Paul, and he will save you if you call upon him. We don't want to see you go to hell. We're telling you the things that you know are true so that you'll repent. And we're telling you what's going to happen in the future. And your future standing before the judgment bar of God could be today or in the night when you're laying there helpless in your bed. God send the angel of death to you. And this angel of death, the Bible calls him the King of Terrors. He'll come and terrorize you and then laugh at you while your soul is going out to hell, saying to you, was it worth it? Was this, the things that you did on earth, worth spending eternity in this place? And then you feel your soul stuffed right in there and isolated there forever. You think the things that you're doing are worth an eternity in hell and in the lake of fire? How stupid, how utterly insane Satan has made you. Okay, then what?
Isaiah states, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 21, verse 23 through 24. What they're doing to God's word and God's children are also abominations that maketh desolate. Again, the things that the people of the world consider law are contrary to God's law. These are things such as abortion, homosexuality, idolatry, witchcraft, lying, paid false witnesses, and the forbidding of marriage. The Word of God says that the forbiddance of God's lawful marriage is the doctrines of devils.
Well, another thing is adultery, sex out of marriage, fornication, lying, stealing, false accusations against the people of the Lord, and following after the Antichrist government. This is the same as taking the mark of the beast. There's no forgiveness for that sin here in this world or in the world to come. Okay, then what?
God hates these secular laws because the things that are not of God in this secular world are of the devil. All these are also abominations that maketh desolate.
An abomination is a very evil sin, very wicked. Then what?
Today we see the laws of sin and death being kept. The laws of the devil have become the laws of the land and of the world. But God's law never changes. It is the same yesterday and today, as it will be on the day of judgment. One of the most common areas that we compromise in is not labeling sin for what it is. And if we get weak in this area, it's not long until outright sin is acceptable, states Pastor Evangelist Roman Kaufman. Let me give you a few examples of this. Today, sin is no longer identified by its true name. People can't stand it. It's too convicting to identify sin for what it is. And so it's no longer identified by its true name. And Satan likes to disguise it with modern-day terms. Stealing is having long fingers. Fornication is considered having a live-in. Adultery is having an affair. Perversion is called an alternative lifestyle. Killing unborn children is called a choice. Profanity and pornography are labeled freedom of expression. And before any of you think tonight that you're not involved in this kind of compromise, let me bring you close to home. Covetousness is considered to be ambition. Discouragement is called the blues rather than a lack of faith. Being a busybody and a talebearer is called overzealous. And a lie is just fibbing or joking. Does that sound familiar? I'm amazed at how many of God's people are involved in this. This is what can happen when we seek the honor of men rather than the honor of God. I agree with the pastor 1,000%. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus is saying here that he in a human body will show the world that the law can be more than kept if the triune God is living in them. The grand terrorist. The Bible not only tells us that Jesus is God, a terrible God to wickedness, It tells us he is a terrorist to those who are unrepentant sinners. The Apostle Paul stated, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Paul also stated that he makes himself keep God's commandments, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. With this statement, Paul tells us that God is demanding and strict with everyone, including those who are the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This means God is terrible to not only the wicked kings of the earth, but to all others who are wicked. It is written, "There is no respect of persons with God." Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. After having written approximately two-thirds of the New Testament, Paul stated that if he wouldn't continue preaching the gospel in the Holy Spirit, he, like any other disobedient person, would be sent to hell. The word of the terrible God, the real God, states he is terrible to the kings of the earth. Psalm 76, verse 12. The word commands us to pray to God the Father by the Spirit in the name of Jesus that our enemies should be saved. If they won't repent and receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be included with those who shall be killed by the soon coming plagues in the book of Revelation that I have just mentioned.
Right, and of course the beginning of the plagues is already hitting the earth, and it's just going to be one rapid one after the other. This big earthquake over in Pakistan is reputed to have destroyed almost 80,000 people already. And that's just in that particular area. There were people they haven't even found yet. Whole cities have been buried in mud. These are not natural disasters. They're supernatural, and they're definitely not from Mother Nature. It's a bunch of Gentile people that keep living in, they make up Mother Nature and Porky the Pig and all the different cartoon characters. Believe me, this is no act of a cartoon character. Mother Nature. Supernatural disasters from God. Then what?
Then they'll be sent to hell and finally to the lake of fire for eternity. The real God told us to pray to him in the time of trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. If we do, he will hear us, answer us, deliver us, and fight for us. We who are the children of the Most High are living in a time of many troubles. The entire world population is living in a time of many troubles. If we pray to God as the prophets and apostles did in their times of trouble, God will either save or destroy his and our enemies, just as he destroyed theirs. I have to keep repeating this. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. God will destroy the evil kings, the kings who have changed the law of God to the law of Satan, in hopes of arresting God's children on false charges and bringing them into their courtrooms, where they will be lied about so that they might be imprisoned or even put to death. They think that by doing this, they can destroy God's people and God's work. However, they greatly underestimate God, who sees all their moves, and they greatly underestimate the power of prayer, the prayer sent to God by his children. The great power of God in his children is seen when they are united together as an army of prayer warriors, a nation of born-again kings and priests who approach and bombard the throne of God with their petitions, both in the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus. Jesus said we are to pray always for the salvation of souls, Luke chapter 21, verse 36. If the wicked don't repent of their sins, God can and will destroy the destroyer of his people and his work, as well as destroy those who are destroying the earth. We have to tell God what we want if we are to receive the things we desire. The Apostle James stated, "Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." Jesus said, quote, "Ask and ye shall receive," unquote. John chapter 16, verse 24. Rome's influence. Rome has always claimed temporal power and desired to rule over the kings and princes of the earth. In order to accomplish this end, she has left no means unused to obtain wealth and to influence politicians. Rome uses its influence over politicians to create war and rumors of war by creating disasters through the actions of people who do not appear to be connected to the mother of harlots. She who masterminds the abominations and instructs the politicians to do such evil. Revelation chapter 17, verse 5.
In other words, the Roman Catholic Vatican, the Roman Catholic cult, that's who it is. Then what?
These truthful statements have been made for centuries by millions of Roman Catholic defectors, including priests, nuns, and laity, from what they call the wicked and demonic Roman Catholic religion. The media, the press, and the propagandists always exalt Rome and its unscriptural religion, which God, in his word, says he hates. The Bible in Daniel says that this fourth and last secular kingdom of the world is the kingdom that Christ shall soon destroy by his powerful word preached in the Spirit by the members of his body, his church. It is in vain that the world system, Satan's world kingdom, verbally tears to pieces the testimony of God, of his word, of those in heaven, and of his children, with its blasphemous lying words. When Christ was in the world, he overpowered Satan by the Spirit of God in him. When God in Christ is alive and working in us, we also have the same power and dominion over sin, Satan, and the flesh, the world, death, hell, and the grave. Satan is a defeated foe and cannot in any way prevent us from entering heaven with eternal life, which we already possess by having God's Spirit in Christ mingled with ours. God's anger is now kindled against Satan's world system. He, according to his word, shall soon tear them to pieces and destroy them. It is now that the righteous man can stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him, and those who have made no account of his labors in the Lord, which means preaching the gospel and doing what the gospel says we must do. When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of our salvation, so far beyond all that they looked for. And they, repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit, shall say within themselves, "This was he whom we had sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach. We fools accounted his life madness, and his end to be without honor. How is he numbered among the children of God, and his lot is among the saints? Therefore have we erred from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness hath not shined unto us, and the Sun of righteousness rose not upon us. We wearied ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction. Yea, we have gone through deserts, where there lay no way, but as for the way of the Lord, we have not known it. What hath pride profited us, or what good hath riches with our vaunting brought us? All those things are passed away like a shadow, for the hope of the ungodly is like dust that is blown away with the wind, like a thin froth that is driven away with the storm, like as the smoke which is dispersed here and there with a tempest and passeth away, as the remembrance of a guest that tarrieth but a day. But the righteous live for evermore. Their reward also is with the Lord, and the care of them is with the Most High. Therefore shall they receive a glorious kingdom, and a beautiful crown from the Lord's hand. For with his right hand shall he cover them, and with his arm shall he protect them. He shall take to him his jealousy for complete armor, and make the creature his weapon for the revenge of his enemies. He shall put on righteousness as a breastplate, and true judgment instead of an helmet. He shall take holiness for an invincible shield. His severe wrath shall he sharpen for a sword.
You see, this is the Bible. This doesn't tell you that this is the love of God. It is, according to the Christian, the love of God, because he's destroying all the wicked so that they will not be in heaven with us, because we're sick and tired of being in the world with a bunch of wicked people. We want to be in heaven where there's peace and quiet tranquility, no IRS, no satanic world government or antichrist government. Everyone in the kingdom of heaven believes the same way, and all those in hell believe the same way too, unfortunately for them. Then what?
and the world shall fight with him against the unwise. Then shall the right aiming thunderbolts go abroad, and from the clouds, as from a well-drawn bow, shall they fly to the mark. And hailstones full of wrath shall be cast as out of a stone bow, and the water of the sea shall rage against them, and the floods shall cruelly drown them. Yea, a mighty wind shall stand up against them, and like a storm shall blow them away. Thus iniquity shall lay waste the whole earth, and ill dealing shall overthrow the thrones of the mighty. The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1 through 9a, verse 14 through 23. A former nun, M. Frances Cusack, speaking of Rome and its world system in her book, The Black Pope, said, "What shall we say of a religious order which prides itself on being called by the name of the Savior of mankind, and yet has made the practice of untruth a fine art, and reduced the practice of lying to a science?" She adds, "Some people may say that what I have just said should be objected to strongly. The question is not whether the words which we use are strong or feeble, but whether they are true or false." M. Frances Cusack stated that she had literally wasted 30 years of her life in what she now deems to be an evil and wicked cult. Like she said, the Vatican has made the practice of untruth a fine art and reduced the practice of lying to a science. A few of Satan's favorite lies. Here are several examples. Did Jerry Falwell really have sex with his mother in an outhouse, like Larry Flint said he did in his Hustler magazine? The answer is no, it is a lie. Did the people of Jonestown all in unison really commit suicide by drinking poisonous Kool-Aid under the order of Jim Jones, just because they were visited by a couple of government agents, as the propagandists, the news media, and the press told you, and you believed them? The answer is no. In Jonestown, the people who escaped told my late wife Susan and myself that it was the government agents who killed them.
Federal government agents, ruled by Rome. Then what?
They said they poisoned their Kool-Aid.
They had soldiers there. There were bullet holes in every one of those people. Nobody is going to 1,000 people at one time. Who could convince people to do such a thing as that? Certainly not Jim Jones or anybody. It's very hard for me to convince people to keep the yard clean or to sweep the sidewalks on a consistent basis. And it's for sure, I wouldn't have one follower if I ever told anybody to commit suicide, because I teach people the Bible, and the Bible tells us that we'd all go to hell if we did something like that. So if the media ever tries to tell you that we committed suicide and that they didn't kill us as they did the people at Waco and Jonestown, don't believe them, because that would be the last thing we'd do. Okay, then what?
They saw them do it. I have no idea what the doctrine of Jim Jones was, but several of his followers said when they saw government agents killing their friends with bullets because they wouldn't drink the poisoned Kool-Aid, they decided to escape into the woods. Then some of them who escaped visited some churches, including ours, to tell us their story. They said that it was not suicide at all, that the government agents or the other people these agents brought with them had laced the Kool-Aid with poison, then shot those who wouldn't drink it.
That's why they wanted the Vatican to look like a well-established, legitimate religion. And for anybody that is born-again Christians or that isn't Vatican, they want everyone to look like a cult but them. That's their whole story. They've been doing that for years. And anyone that is not Catholic, Antichrist Catholic, must burn at the stake, or they must go in and shoot him and make up stories about him. Just as it says in one of the other pieces of literature that I have written, along with the federal government agent, Mr. Peeler, who stated that Waco, he was a government agent. They tried to recruit him to go down to Waco and help kill David Koresh and his followers. And they were laughing about it and calling it a turkey shoot. And he became convicted by one of the pieces of literature that I had written, and he wrote that expose on them. So they called it a turkey shoot, you know, to go and kill people. These are not United States citizens. This is Roman army in our midst taking advantage of the citizens here and causing us to be put to death and put in prison. This is not the good old USA as it was, as I loved when I was a little child. But this is another government that has moved into our government. It's a subversive Antichrist government from Rome. And we have voted in presidents that have allowed them to do that. Presidents that are subject to Rome, not we, the people of the United States of America. I'm a true patriot. And anybody that follows this wicked regime is not patriotic to the United States of America or the Constitution. They're patriotic to Rome and Rome only. And then what?
I believed them. There was genuine terror in their eyes when they recalled the things that they said that some of the people in government had done to them, things the government media lied about. Some of the people in government and in the media have lied about my church for years. That's how I know the things these people were telling us were the truth. They reported to us that there is no way in the world that anyone could hypnotize or brainwash 1,000 people at one time into committing suicide.
Okay, I see that our time is up.
It's time for us to pray now. Those of you that want to be part of those that are going to be rejoicing when this Antichrist regime is over with, which is any minute now, say this prayer so you can be saved. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Father God, Holy Spirit, wash all my former filthy sins in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Father God, Holy Spirit, you will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord, and share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program, number 45.
Go to alamuministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamuministries.com. Or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078. Or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
So this was part two of another Pearl Harbor. And we're just getting into the meat of the subject here, so don't fail to tune in tomorrow, because you're really going to have an eye-opener then. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.